Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Other news of the day, we are sponsored this Thursday morning, February 27th. We're in the 40s now, but heating up again to the spring-like weather. We'll talk about the forecast moving forward, which is appropriate. We are sponsored by the Philadelphia Flower Show. So in the news, closer to home in Philadelphia, we do have word of this escaped inmate who apparently, according to authorities, climbed two fences at a Philadelphia prison. So now the U.S. Marshals are searching for this guy. Federal inmate escaped from a prison in North Philadelphia, and he had been serving time for weapons possession. So the search is on for this guy. They've released his mugshot, still haven't found him, but these are U.S. Marshals. They say that 30-year-old Keith Freeman escaped from the Kintock Group on East Luzerne Street. Federal inmate climbing two different fences before fleeing the prison.
Two?
Yeah, he was serving a 96-month sentence for weapons possession.
Are our prisons here in this area the easiest to get out of?
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder. You know, it's actually been a while since we had an escape. Remember we had that stretch?
Remember that for a while?
There shouldn't be any escapes.
I know. We had the one guy that went up the wall like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Then we had Cavalcante.
Yep. Got some climbers.
Danilo. Wonder what my boy Danilo's up to these days.
He's still in prison. Oh, my goodness. So we've got that. We're watching that one very carefully for you this morning, closer to home. I know that we'll talk about Pam Bondi and what she's going to release with Epstein. I will say that the announcement by the USDA about eggs is one that has an impact on all of us. And these are some new moves that are being made. Five-pronged strategy, including $500 million for biosecurity. And this has to do with egg prices, the avian bird flu. And this is the new U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins, announcing that billion-dollar comprehensive strategy to try to curb the deadly avian influenza, the bird flu that we've talked about, to protect the American poultry industry, which Pennsylvania, we're one of the biggest in the nation, and then of course to try to lower these egg prices, which are not going down anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is in addition to all the funding already being provided to try to help all the farmers, because basically, what they've said is once they realize that this flock infestation has happened, they have said the only answer is to euthanize all of the hens.
Good, good.
And so that's,
kill them all. seriously, I mean, attack the root cause, right?
The root cause are migratory birds.
Correct.
That's who's,
kill them too.
Yep.
So we have geese hunting season. Not
yes,
season.
In January,
it's illegal.
The average price of a dozen eggs hit a record high of $4.95, up from $2.52 a year prior.
Well, and in California, so they're also talking about different states and the regulations.
Mm-hmm.
For in California, they're like $10 for a dozen.
Yeah.
They're because of all the different state regs. Trying to reduce the regs.
I shouldn't admit this. I paid $10 the other day for it.
For a dozen?
Yeah.
Oh, I've noticed this because we do, I've basically taken every bit of advice Dawn's ever given me.
$8.99.
You know, I got my heart checked. I go to Aldi now. And Aldi has a buy two limit right now.
Yeah.
Right?
And most places do.
I think Giant, for the 18 pack of eggs, they were over $11 for 18.
Yeah. Well, I think they're going to go up before they go down.
Yeah.
I think that's the reality
mm-hmm.
that we face. What they're saying here, it's a five-pronged strategy. They're putting, like I say, $1 billion into this and biosecurity measures. And so what is that? I'm very curious about that. And I just had interviewed last week somebody from Penn State, in their agricultural department. This is huge for Pennsylvania and our farmers.
Mm-hmm.
So $400 million in extra financial relief for the impacted farmers. So that's a huge help. But I am curious as to what, I know that they're experimenting with a vaccine, not for us, not for humans, but this would be for the hens to try to protect these. Because the problem is, you go out this time of year, the goose poop or the geese poop,
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
I know.
It's everywhere. Nasty.
I know. I was stepping in all sorts of stuff yesterday.
It's disgusting.
Ridiculous. I had to scrub my shoes.
Ugh.
I'm serious.
Yeah,
I stepped all over. It's unbelievable. But here's the thing, and I'm all for, you know, getting this under control, getting the prices down, whatever. But honestly, you know, there's some things that we can't avoid that we have to, unfortunately, pay these absurd prices for that we should truly be pissed about. The cost of energy, heating our homes, air conditioning, things like that. I mean, if your egg prices have gone up, and trust me, I'm a big fan of eggs. If I could eat eggs every single morning, I'd have an omelet every single day. But just navigate around that. Get something else for breakfast. I mean, is it really that difficult? Make pancakes instead. Yeah,
I need eggs.
People need eggs, brother. Come on.
No, I mean, I get it. I love eggs, but have a bagel.
No, that's all carbs. Eggs.
Oh, eggs are cholesterol.
Eggs. It's good cholesterol, though. Eggs, chicken, fish.
Until you're on Lipitor.
And a little bit of red meat. Stick to that diet. You'll be healthy.
By the way, that whole egg Lipitor thing that you just mentioned, Nick, disproved.
No, is that fake news?
Thank you, Dawn.
It's
I am so mad at my mom. She told me that for years.
Dawn, you and I.
Yes.
When I see my mom in the afterlife, I'm going to label her a disinformationist.
Yeah.
Damn her.
No, it's not your mom's fault. That was fake news.
That was the big thing 25 years ago or so.
It's fake news.
Yeah. Everything goes back 25 years ago.
I know, right? So I think one of the pieces of this headline, and this is how I'll wrap this up, but that the fact that the USDA, that the government is now exploring options to temporarily bring in egg imports, in other words, and that explains why the USDA chief, wasn't she in South America recently?
Yeah.
And so I know that some farmers were like, whoa, this is, you know, because we don't usually do that. But I think that what they're thinking about is actually bringing in eggs, which we don't usually do.
Right. We just bring in other humans that are illegal.
Well,
we don't bring in illegal eggs, though.
By the way, Road Warrior says, never shake Nick's hand and make sure he leaves the shoes at the door when he comes in.
Correct. Shoes off when you enter the establishment.
Because as we've established on the show, that you don't wash your hands, you purify, or Purell.
Purell.
Yeah, I use a sanitizer.
Yeah.
I use what the company provides me at every turn.
The company also provides you a sink, soap, water.
Yeah.
And a hand dryer.
Yeah.
And my dad would tell you, even if my dad had this thing, and I've asked, you know, the scientists about this, but he had a thing where if you did, before we had hand sanitizer everywhere, if you don't have like the soap and water, my dad always said, you could do this, just the friction of it.
Oh.
And I always thought, like, dad, but there's actually truth to that.
Is it really?
That if, you know, it's not the best, but.
Mm-hmm.
I go into those
old school.
I go into these bathrooms. I don't touch anything. Literally nothing.
It's like elbows.
Except my zipper. I'm serious. I don't.
Leave it at that.
I don't.
I'm actually.
I open the door with my knee.
I'm going to research this to see the differences in effectiveness of hand sanitizer versus soap. You guys better hope you're not on the wrong side. I'm going to unload on all of you.
It's antibiotic. Your hand becomes immune to it after a while. Just like why most antibiotics don't work on us anymore because we were over-prescribed antibiotics as kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
Oh.
Thank you.
Cool.
So we have
God, I know everything.
Yeah. You should have a show.
I should. Greg.
Hey, lately he's been on like 8 hours a day.
I know. I've been with Dawn, too. And...
So, by the way, the Supreme Court ruled last night temporarily
blocked... WGRG.
I know, right?
You're listening to WGRG. All Greg, all the time.
But Dan better watch out because the group chat... Look, Greg might not get as much love as he deserves in the Kalen Company, but you were getting a lot of love.
I was. Yeah,
it was very nice.
Here's the thing, though, Dan. Dan better be coming in today because I got a 10-15 meeting that I can't miss.
So. Yeah, exactly.
The U.S. Supreme Court did a ruling that's last night, a temporary victory for the Trump administration. So this is blocking a lower court order that required the Trump administration to release billions of dollars in U.S. Foreign aid. So Chief Justice John Roberts, granting the administration's request on this one to pause the ruling, the lower court ruling. And that was before the deadline was last night at midnight. And so I know that we had reported on that. So I just want you to let you know that there's a temporarily pause or blockade on this. But this is over nearly $2 billion in funding for, and this has to do with USAID. And so right now it's, like I say, a victory temporarily for the Trump administration while this thing makes its way through the courts. So Supreme Court now teed up to review the situation to find out whether the order, and this is the, go ahead.
No, go.
The bigger issue here is this is the executive branch, right, doing these executive actions, signing all these executive orders. And so this is putting really the Constitution to the test, in my opinion, because this is the way it was designed, that it's just, things are challenged. Does the executive branch have all that power or don't they? So it's making its way through the courts. That's my point. It all has to do with the USAID that I know we've talked a whole lot about.
By the way, Daryl writes in and asks if Jimmy Failla will be on YouTube. Yes, he will. We have a video set up in his palatial estate there in New York. So you will see him on the YouTube video. If you want to get, if you want to see the four box, go on over to YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHT. Excuse me. Make sure you hit the like and subscribe buttons while you're there. Get on over there now.
Yesterday we talked about Trump Gaza. That there was that, you know, there was that video that had gone viral. And I will also say that Michael Bay is being credited with helping, and Sean Curran, the new Secret Service director, he was there at Butler, PA. Now he's the Secret Service director. But he said that he's a buddy of Michael Bay. They put together this new commercial showing patriotism, trying to recruit, you know, draw on some new recruits, if you will, for those Secret Service.
Michael Bay, the Hollywood bigwig.
Yes.
The executive producer, movie director.
Yes.
Yeah. And, Transformers, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's awesome.
So Transformers, Transformers, robots in disguise. Greg, can you sing that song? Not yet?
Not yet, but I...
You will soon, my friend.
You will.
I mean, I watched it as a kid, so I remember the original Transformers.
Yeah.
But 80-something.
Anybody with boys, it's like, yep. Tried Optimus Prime. But yeah, that's Michael Bay. So he did the commercial. It's pretty good. So I just wanted to put that on.
Wasn't that
radar.
Same commercial that was in the Super Bowl?
I don't recall.
Is it the same one?
I don't know.
Because I was seeing, I don't know. Hmm. I don't know if it is, Greg. I'm going to look.
All right.
If that was the same one or not.
Phil says
perhaps.
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah,
Phil says
you.
Yes.
Thank Phil you. Says
the
yes.
Exact same one.
Thank you.
I did not know it was Michael Bay.
The Phil and Greg Show.
Yes.
Coming to you.
For all of your obtuse music and movie knowledge.
I know.
Well, we'll have a one share because nobody will listen to it because it'll just be all things we're interested in.
But if you play Trivia Pursuit with new information, you're going to win.
Yeah.
So play for money, people. So we got that one going on. All right. We are sponsored by the... Are you done talking about Dean Hackman for now?
I'm done with everything, Gene honestly, Hackman for now? I've had my fill of everything.
We have a Jimmy put together a little montage of Gene Hackman movies and stuff, and we'll play that probably coming up in the cut sheet at 7:45.
Oh, very cool.
So whenever we get to it.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're just joining us, where have you been? But yeah. We started out, you know, 6 o'clock.
We started at 6 a.m.
It was actually 5:59, and Greg mentioned, my goodness, this story about legendary actor Gene Hackman, his wife, their dog, found alongside each other, dead inside their New Mexico home, and officials initially said, you know, foul play, not suspected, but authorities rather tight-lipped on all of the circumstances, cause of death, as the investigation's ongoing. So Hackman, he was 95. His wife, Betsy Arakawa, 63, by the way, a classical pianist. And his wife, they were married 34 years.
So let's do the math a little bit here. So he was 95. She's 64, right?
63.
63.
He married her at 61. And she was 30.
But they were married 34 years.
Okay. No,
loving couple.
More power to them. I'm just
so a neighbor knew something wasn't right, called deputies.
Yep.
Sheriff's deputies go to do a wellness check.
Well, by the way, somebody asked me, because at 6:02, I was speculating. I was like, could have been a murder, suicide pack, or just a suicide pack or something. But I guess when there's no foul play involved, that means that none of that happened.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, foul play means some sort of, quote, natural occurrence.
So Stan...
Well, not that. Could be... number one. What do you think? Number one, they're saying carbon monoxide.
It has to be.
Stan tweeted me, and I just responded to him, and I said, "What about a suicide pact? You know what I mean? Like where there was no murder, they just decided to go out together."
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that's what happened, but I'm just speculating. Twitter flagged me.
Good.
As violent speech, because I asked about a suicide.
You're
pact.
A violent human being. Oh. I want them to deplatform you.
You have to put self harm.
Oh, God.
Stalker got flagged in the middle of the show.
He got flagged on YouTube.
If you put
or on
self-harm.
Twitter, I mean. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Get Elon Musk on the phone.
Yeah.
So just so sad, and everybody's talking about it this morning. So they're investigating. So Hackman obviously appearing as villains, heroes, anti-heroes, dozens of dramas, comedies, action films.
Yeah.
During the 60s. He retired in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Five-time Oscar nominee, one for The French Connection, Unforgiven, but we were talking about some of our favorite.
I've jotted down my seven in descending order real quickly.
Well, let's do this.
We got to do Bondi as well with the Epstein. Yeah, we have a lot to do here.
Let me do my sponsor really fast, Philadelphia Flower Show. And we are the oldest, the original flower show in the United States of America. We're quite famous for our flower show, quite frankly. So just experience the worlds of possibility from the ground up at the Philadelphia Flower Show. Gardens of Tomorrow, that's the theme, Gardens of Tomorrow, March 1st. So this weekend through the 9th, Pennsylvania Convention Center. See imaginative designs, innovative ideas, endless inspiration. Get your tickets to the future today. PHSonline.org, PHSonline.org. Kellen Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Up next, I will give you all of the names that are showing up as possible people that will be on the big revelation today of the Epstein name list that Pam Bondi is going to release. And will these people show up on the flight logs? We will find out later today, and we will give you the odds coming up next. But first, a word from our friends at Mercedes-Benz of Westchester. It's the Piazza Auto Group. They've got Mercedes-Benz dealerships all over the place, Westchester, Wilmington, and Atlantic City. So whether you're in Pennsylvania, you're in Delaware, or you're down towards the shore, they've got you covered with your dream Mercedes-Benz, which combines luxury with performance across the full spectrum of sedans, SUVs, coupes, roadsters, and more. From the powerful engine of the 2025 C-Class sedan, that thing's got a lot of pop, to the impressive towing capacity of the 2025 GLE SUV. You'll find a luxury vehicle that meets your needs for you and your family. Schedule a test drive today behind the wheel of your dream Mercedes-Benz, or shop Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, Wilmington, and Atlantic City at PiazzaPremiumAutos.com.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Polymarket, which, if you recall, I cited and referenced Polymarket a lot throughout the election season this past summer and fall, because it kind of gives you a little bit of a different perspective versus the polls. And Polymarket will put odds and mathematical probabilities on anything. And so far, $1.37 million has been wagered on names to be released. And I'm going to give you, according to Polymarket, the probability and the odds of the most notorious names that have long been speculated to have been either on Epstein Island or have partaken in any of the awful activities. The leading favorite at 79% likely is Prince Andrew.
Yeah, he's definitely on it.
Okay, there's you say
no,
definitely.
There's no question. Yeah, there's, okay. I mean, it's pretty much
that's a given.
Well okay. established.
All right.
By the way, can I just say something before you do this? So if you parse her words, she says some Epstein files. Mm-hmm. She said some. And quote, a lot of flight logs.
Okay.
So the flight logs guys were released in 21. So, like, I don't know what new things we're going to glean from them.
Okay. Well, if I'm disappointed today,
it's going to be...
I'm torching everybody tomorrow in the big take.
I think it's going to be a lot of redacted names of victims, what was done to them.
Victims redacted, I'm fine with.
But no names.
I don't want anybody covered up that's still alive.
Yeah.
Unsheath these pigs.
So as RFK Jr., we already know that he has spoken out about being on a flight.
Well, Trump was on a flight, too.
I've got Trump's name down here, so hold on. Bill Gates, 73%. He is the number two most likely to be in the Epstein files. Followed by Bill Clinton at 68%. David Copperfield, 67%. Kevin Spacey, 62%. Alan Dershowitz, the Dersh, 58%. Tony Blair, 42%. Tom Hanks, 35%. Stephen Hawking, 35%. A lot of Hollywood people, man.
Tom Hanks?
A lot of Hillary Clinton.
No, stop.
35%. Ellen DeGeneres, 33%. Okay. Al Gore, 30%. Jamie Dimon, 35%.
I did not unlock the box.
Are these people, are all these people just people who were on the flight, but not necessarily? Because, I mean, Trump was on a flight.
I would presume,
but I don't think he did anything.
If you're coming up here, I would presume you've had some sort of relationship or interaction.
That's the thing that RFK Jr. came out and others have come out and said, that Epstein was somebody who he wanted to associate with powerful politicians. Moguls, that sort of thing. He buddied up to all of these different people. So that was some of them. I know our RFK Jr. is one of them, who said there was a like a charity thing, and they were like, "Hey, you want to come on this flight?" Blah blah blah. But they said that nothing. You know, their family might have been with them or whatever.
Mm.
So maybe we'll glean more information from it.
Oprah, 25%. Alec Baldwin, 37%. Michael Jackson, wow. Jay-Z, 20% chance. Donald Trump.
So we know he's on the flight logs. We know Bill Clinton's on the flight logs. We know Prince Andrew. I don't mean to besmirch Prince Harry. Prince Andrew is on the flight logs. So like these are all names and things we know already.
Okay.
This is what I'm saying. I think this is going to be a lot of stuff that we already know. Maybe we'll get more details on what some of these victims went through or was done to them, but I don't think we're going to get names of Joe Blow raped 13-year-old, 14-year-old so-and-so.
Okay.
I don't think we're going to get that.
Obama, 16%.
No, stop.
Joe Biden, 13%. Trudeau, 10%. And then lastly, Rachel Maddow, 7%. Swear to God.
That's unbelievable.
Now, some other names here with no percentages.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
Chuck Schumer. Colbert.
Colbert, that's a good one.
AOC and Anderson Cooper. So take that for what you will.
I mean, she did make the comment. Her comment was
who?
Pretty Pam Bondi, when she described Epstein's actions, she said pretty sick.
Yeah.
But is there anything in the files that are set to release this morning that, you know what I mean, that is going to be, I don't know, salacious details or anything?
So, Stalker, you said, let me scroll back up to the top, the name that you said, no doubt about it, Prince Andrew.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's been known. It's out there, the stuff that he, I believe, did. I don't even think we have to say allegedly.
Okay.
I mean, he was, there's pictures with him.
Yeah.
So the other high percentage individuals here, Clinton, Dershowitz, Spacey, and Gates, you don't think those names come out today?
No.
Okay.
No.
Are you separating the name that could be released today with the actual heinous actions that occurred on that godforsaken piece of property?
Yes, because just because you flew on his flight doesn't necessarily mean you went to Whore Island, what they called it.
Because I love to see people all the time. Well, they post the picture of Trump and Epstein together in the United States. Just because you took a photo op with somebody does not mean that you committed the acts, does not mean that you went to the island. Now, maybe you were... Now, there's certainly people on these lists that I just rattled off names that might be aware of the act. I mean, let's face it, it's a small world.
Yep.
You're in a circle, an inner circle. You hear things. People speculate. Do some of these people alive know things that they're not saying publicly or even in a deposition type setting? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I wouldn't rule that out at all.
All right. I see Jimmy Fallon in the on deck circle.
Beautiful. Jimmy Fallon, 1210 WPHD. You hear him weeknights at 7 o'clock. You see him on Fox News. Captain.
It burns his old droopy nuts.
He's going to join us on the other side. Jimmy Fallon next here on Kale and Company.
Oh, you need a little magic in your kitchen? I've got somebody for you, because when it comes to your home, trust is everything, right? For 45 years, Kitchen Magic has been earning the trust with an incredible reputation for transforming kitchens with professionalism, such precision and care. From the custom cabinets to the countertops, those backsplashes to the storage solutions, Kitchen Magic, they get the job done fast. In just a few days, your dream kitchen becomes a reality without the hassle. Trust the name your neighbors have been relying on for decades now. Kitchen Magic. So just get your free in-home consultation. Do this. Go to kitchenmagic.com. Let's cook up something extraordinary, shall we? Kitchenmagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the K Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Who will divorce first, Trump and Elon Musk or Jimmy Fallon and Rich Zioli? That is now, the poll question.
Well, it depends whether or not the Epstein list comes out today.
Oh.
If it comes out today, I am in big trouble.
Oh.
So you can see I'm wearing a hat and a sweat jacket I've never worn before. I'm halfway to a disguise right now, just in case.
All you need is the fake mustache and the eyeglass kit,
and then you'd be set, brother.
Let's play the Pam Bondi thing from Jimmy's buddy and his station, Fox News. Pam Bondi was on last night. This is Cut 26, Phil.
Mm-hmm. The Jesse Waters Show.
There we go.
You said last week that you have the Epstein files on your desk. Is when can we see them, and what's taking so long to release them?
I do. Jesse, there are well over, this will make you sick, 200 victims. 200. So we have over 250, actually. So we have to make sure that their identity is protected and their personal information. But other than that, I think tomorrow, you know, the personal information of victims. Other than that, I think tomorrow, Jesse, breaking news right now, you're going to see some Epstein information being released by my office.
What kind? Are we going to see who was on the flights? Are we going to see any evidence from what he recorded? Because he had all of his homes wired with recording devices.
Yeah. What you're going to see, hopefully tomorrow, is a lot of flight logs, a lot of names, a lot of information. But it's pretty sick what that man did.
Okay. Well, we'll
along
look
with
for
his
that.
Code.
All right, Jimmy, what are you thinking? Big revelations today or nothing?
I mean, at the very least, it's such a riveting video. You know, you look at the sprint screen, Waters Bondi. On the left side of the screen, you've got a gorgeous woman. On the right side, you've got Bondi. And shout out to Jesse. Stick with me. I logged on early because I've told you this before. I'm an admirer from afar. So I'll open up a PHT Odyssey app and listen to the show when I'm in, you know, kind of putting my stuff together in the morning. And I heard Stocker mention the fact that it's not about whether or not you're on the list. It's about how many times. If you're on the list, once, you might have flew down there, looked around and been like, we got to get the hell out of here. If you're on the list five times.
Yeah.
If you like pina colada. You know what I mean? Like, whoa, this is a problem. So, good day to be a lawyer. I am fascinated because what I think is, you know, there's when Epstein was found dead. OK, that renewed my faith in the government's ability to do bipartisan things together.
Yes.
There was a part of me that was horrified. There was a part of me that was like, wow, these parties still get things done when they need to. And that is where this story starts. OK, I just hit send on a text message to Greg Stocker.
Oh, okay? No. Oh, boy.
Take a minute to come into your phone.
OK,
this is real. I told you I wouldn't give you the information ahead of time.
You did.
I just want you to open it up and tell everyone listening what I sent you two pictures of.
Oh, boy.
Don't be nervous, guys. It's not what I normally send at night. This is not.
No junk here.
This is the difference between a 1 a.m. and a 7 a.m.
Oh, my God.
Did you read the story?
I did.
So Nick and Donnie, you got to hear this.
Okay.
So I just sent Stocker a picture, two pictures. On August 9th, 2019, okay, the night Epstein hung himself.
Mm-hmm.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Okay, he technically died after midnight, so it was August 10th. But that night, this is psychotic. I don't know what it has to do with the story, but Bill and Hillary Clinton flew into Chicago commercially, got off the plane, and I met them immediately. She recognized me from Fox. We both took a picture. And I just thought nothing of it, like a funny Forrest Gump moment for Jimmy Fallon. You run into an ex-president and his wife that he doesn't sleep with. And whatchamacallit, I wake up in the morning and I'm like, Epstein, they're like, Epstein's dead. And I was like, my God, like, were they establishing an alibi? What was going on? I don't know. But I am way too close to the story. And if you guys want to segue to, like, I don't know, The Bachelorette.
So Hillary and Bill go into the cell. The video camera was off that night in the prison. Somehow the unit was open and unlocked. They snuff out Epstein and go to Chicago. I think that's the same thing OJ did when he killed Nicole. He took a flight to Chicago.
But Jimmy Fallon, they're going to be like, Well, you can ask Jimmy Failla. Like, this will be testimony. You'll have to testify.
Yeah. He has picture evidence that he just sent me from that timestamp that day.
Wow.
Yep.
So there we go. The last people to see.
Well, what's funny is, like, okay, so if somebody like that was involved in killing them, they obviously weren't involved. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's not an email saying kill him at midnight. The point is, I've never seen two people look more stress-free than the Clintons did that night. You know, Hillary doesn't like the public. She took like 100 selfies. She was making balloon animals. I've seen that woman put a cigarette out on a child. Okay. That she got off that plane and had a special handshake for everybody in the airport. I was like, wow.
This is amazing. All right, Jimmy Failla, you're going to be on record right now at 7:41 on, what's today, Thursday morning. Do you think we're going to see a lot of names, or is this going to be a lot of stuff that we already knew?
A lot of what we already knew.
Yeah,
I think what's going to happen is, I think it's going to be protectively released. Meaning there's probably, you know, she was talking about protecting victim information. Yeah. There's also a legal protection in releasing this, because you releasing it doesn't automatically mean someone did something deviant, you know, so they can't release this in a way of like, here's everybody who was there. Think what you want, because that costs people, you know, some people who might legitimately be innocent. I don't doubt there's one of them, you know, one of them, you know, that would lose endorsements or a job or a family. Mm-hmm. So I do think it's precarious. But I love that they're doing this.
Me too.
You know, like, it's psychotic in a weird way. But it's like, I don't know. There was something Trump must have enjoyed about getting shot at that makes him want to release JFK, Epstein, and Martin Luther King in the same month. I'm like, what's going on, my man?
Yeah.
Is everything okay at home?
You take a bullet to the head. I mean, you're like, what the hell? What worse could happen, right? Let's just release it all.
Yeah. The guy doesn't care. And, like, we're going to look back on this is, like, in a weird way, I'm not saying he's a mobster, but he's a mobster in that he doesn't care. Like, you know what I mean? He's public enemy number one, but he's also in charge of the public. Mm-hmm. So it's the sickest thing I've ever watched. It's amazing.
All right.
Should we do the cut sheet?
Yeah, let's get to it.
Jimmy has somewhere to be. I think a court appearance at 8:00. So he has to bounce out early.
And the rest of his disguise kit.
By the way, in our group chat, they're saying you have a Sopranos like jumpsuit, like workout wear.
Yeah.
Is this the new Jimmy Failla line?
It is not. This is what I wear around the house in the morning when I'm like writing and stuff.
Yep.
And a little hat, little jacket. I might walk a dog in an outfit like this. This is
an outfit.
You know what I'm saying? This isn't really for public display. All but right. You guys have the highest security clearance in the administration.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHD if you want to see this. See the videos here. All right, let's do this.
What's on the cut sheet?
What's on the cut sheet on this Thursday? Sorry, what day is it? It's sponsored by Meineke. When you step on your brakes, do you hear a squeal or a grinding noise? Don't wait. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke, and their expert technicians will diagnose the problem. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. That's Meineke.com. Thank you, Meineke, for sponsoring the ever-important Thursday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. All right, let's get to, Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
Gene Hackman dead at the age of 95. His wife, 64, also found dead. And the dog, we're assuming, right, Kale, it's what? It's
carbon
monoxide poisoning.
Have they released the age of the dog?
The dog was last seen fetching a tennis ball at Epstein Island.
I was going to say, maybe they were on the Epstein list, and there was a suicide pact going on there.
Oh, man.
Here's just a little montage put together by Jimmy Kelly from some of Gene Hackman's greatest movies, and then I want to go around the room and find who you guys think is what are Gene Hackman's best movies.
Really. Okay.
Will you guys get a fight for us? But damn it, don't fight against us!
Poseidon Adventure?
Leave us alone! How many more sacrifices? How much more blood?
All right, bring it here. Get your hands out of your pockets. What's my name?
Yeah.
Doyle.
What?
Yeah, Mr. Doyle.
Come here. You pick your feet. What? Get over there. Get your hands on your head.
Hold up. We told you people were coming back. We're going to keep coming back here until you clean this bar up. Keep your eye on your neighbor. He dropped something that belongs to you. Turn around there, fella. What do we got here, huh? Does it belong to you? Huh?
Stand up there, Naughty.
Max, what is this obsession with real estate? All the time, land, land, land.
Mr. Tesmacher, when I was 6 years old, my father said to me,
get out.
Before that, he said, son, stocks may rise and fall. Utilities and transportation systems may collapse. People are no damn good, but they will always need land, and they'll pay through the nose to get it.
First of all, let's be real friendly here, okay? My name is Norm. Secondly, your coaching days are over.
Leave the ball, will you, George?
There we go. Gene Hackman, gone at the age of 95.
Yeah.
All right, let's go around the room. Top five Gene Hackman movies, Kale.
Top five, I'm going to go Hoosiers, Superman 2, The Replacements, Runaway Jury, and Crimson Tide.
Hmm.
Those will be my five.
Jimmy Fallon.
My Unforgiven.
Yes.
I love Unforgiven.
Yeah. Yes.
I love The Conversation, which takes place in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Great one. Yeah. Where he's trying to, you know, witnesses the wiretapping device. Obviously, everybody loves Hoosiers just the same. Mississippi Burning.
Oh, great movie.
Really good.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
With him and Defoe is really good. And The French Connection's great. Car chase. You know, probably best car chase. Right up there with Bullet.
Yeah.
History.
Judge. How about that? Don Stensland.
I will go. Well, he won one of the Academy Awards for Best Actor was French Connection, 1971. He played Jimmy Popeye Doyle.
Yep.
Clint Eastwood's Unforgiven. It's one of my top. I love that movie. So I'll go with that one, too. That was 1992. I was going to put Mississippi Burning as well. I have to go with the Superman Lex Luthor just because, like, you know what I mean? Because that's, I mean, we love those.
He's the original Lex Luthor.
Yep.
And then, oh my God, I will say this. I love the movie, and I'm jumping ahead because I know Poseidon Adventure, but my husband and I love the movie Runaway Jury.
So do I.
That's a great movie.
With Cusack.
John Cusack.
Yep, that's a great movie.
Yep.
But it's hard to choose.
Yeah, it is.
It's actually hard to choose.
He was also really good with I think it was Will Smith, Enemy of the State.
Yeah.
Maybe late 90s.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great movies. Definitely on the Mount Rushmore of actors.
Wow, you're putting him in your four?
Totally.
Wow.
I think so.
I mean, he's in my top 10. I don't know if he's in my top four, but.
Jimmy, do you
agree? No, he matters.
Yeah.
He matters in a big way. But don't forget, you know, it's Johnny Sins who does all the adult films.
Stop.
You know, I'm just saying.
Since
thinking about range.
since we have Jimmy Fallon here, by the way, you can hear Jimmy every night, 5 days a week, right here on WPHT from 7 to 10 p.m. after the fabulous Rich Zioli show. We bust Rich's balls, but we love him. Best lineup this radio station has ever had. The ratings and revenue show it.
By the way,
it took Jimmy
Fallon joining us to get the cut sheet on time.
It's true.
Yeah, that's what they're all commenting on.
Yeah,
I can't believe it's on time.
So since we have Jimmy here, I wanted to go to Cut 11 here. There is you're a New York boy. There's a McDonald's now in Brooklyn that is carding people to enter after a certain time because of a string of crimes. This is from Pix11 out of New York. Roll the video, Phil.
Nostrin and Flatbush Avenues in Brooklyn. From now on, anyone under the age of 20 cannot enter without a parent. The New York Post reporting 20. There have been several crimes linked to young people at that McDonald's. The Post reports the restaurant has hired a security guard to enforce the new policy.
So it used to be carding at nightclubs and bars. Now we're carding at McDonald's.
Jimmy, do they also require the vaccine card to see your vaccination status?
They definitely did at one point, but I always used to argue that eating McDonald's is better for your immune system than the vaccine. You know what I'm saying? You can eat a fillet of fish five times a week. COVID's going to be scared of your immune system.
That's how Trump recovered so quickly.
Couldn't be stopped.
Oh, it's amazing.
But a lot of fights that you wind up watching on WorldStar started at McDonald's in Brooklyn. It's teenage gangs of kids who like getting fights at school, show up there, and then there's a hair pulling and a fist fight. You know, it's everything you want to see at a Waffle House at 2 a.m. if you want to see it at like 4 p.m. You know?
Could you imagine that? You're 19 years old. You're in New York. You try to go in. You just want a supersize number 6, and then they say I'm gonna need your identification.
You have no idea how much funnier this is to me because like when I was like 15 in New York, we were going to strip clubs. You know, and So the what? Greg, you had mentioned the idea that nightclubs. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go to like Bear Elegance and, you know.
Bear Elegance.
Yeah, baby.
It's so funny because my nephew's turning 21 today. I'm like, dude, when I was turning 21, I was trying to quit drinking. Like, you know, you had a bad childhood when you were doing a dry January in middle school. Trying to pull this off.
One of your other colleagues, Laura Ingraham. Took her viewers on a tour of the new migrant facility in Guantanamo Bay. This is Cut 33, Phil. Did you see this last night, James? Mm-hmm.
I was on the show the night before.
Yeah.
Watching this all come together as she was, they were sending promo clips and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so anything you want to play, this is exciting.
All right, this is Cut 33 here, Phil. Roll some of it.
And we just arrived at Joint Base Andrews right outside of Washington, D.C. You may hear the whirring of the government jet in the background. We're about to board. We're going to head to Gitmo. It's a 45-square-mile military base in southeastern Cuba, and it's known to many Americans for housing the 9/11 terrorists, including Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. But in the 90s, it was used to hold thousands of Haitian and Cuban migrants who were trying to claim asylum in the United States. But now, it has a new purpose.
We have 30,000 beds in Guantanamo to detain the worst criminal illegal aliens threatening the American people. Some of them are so bad we don't even trust the countries to hold them because we don't want them coming back, so we're going to send them out to Guantanamo.
Chris Hegseth.
We're here aboard the Department of Defense government plane on the way to Naval Station Guantanamo Bay, where everybody knows there are flights of illegal immigrants arriving on a regular basis. That is the administration's decision as a way station before they are returned home. President Trump says he wants thousands of illegals to pass through Gitmo, try to speed up the process, but there are only a few hundred beds at Gitmo to accommodate them.
All right, there you go.
Wow.
Just a little bit of it from last night.
What a cool feature that must be. I mean, not that I would ever want to go out and report in the field, but if I ever got the chance to tour Guantanamo Bay and, you know, do a little piece like Laura did there, I would sign up for that in a heartbeat, Jimmy.
Well, why don't you go ahead and criticize Trump's immigration policy on the air? And he'll do all the Guantanamo tour you'd like.
Can I get one of those 30,000 beds?
Yeah, you might actually get it. It might even be a one-day trip is the nice thing about the direction you're going in. It is pretty wild. I love Ingraham. I do a show every Tuesday night. Laura Ingraham has this vibe if you hang out with her in person. If she ever punched me in the face, I would say thank you. I don't know what that means, but like she has a way of like, it's really like this concise way of giving you the gravity of the story in like one sentence. And I love that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes she'll open to a show, right? She'll be like, welcome to the Ingraham Angle. Democrats are losers who can't please a woman. Anyway. God.
Or a man.
She gets it done. Yeah. And if she ever like flash punched you in the face, you'd probably appreciate it because it's that same opening sentence. She's good at TV.
It's amazing, Jimmy. I get the same vibe when I'm refilling my coffee in the kitchen when Dawn comes by.
Not true.
She also talked to us as the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, on this Guantanamo Bay Migrant Detention Center. Cut 32 here, Phil. Go.
It's an incredibly professional operation. It's as I remember it when I was here. But I think the message is clear. If you break the law, if you are a criminal, you can find your way at Guantanamo Bay. You don't want to be at Guantanamo Bay, which is where we housed Al-Qaeda after 9/11. They're professionals. They do their job. It's not easy. It's not easy time. It's a maximum security prison.
Did you talk to any of the detainees or see any of them?
Saw them. We didn't talk to them or interact with them, but we saw them, saw their living conditions.
And what do they look like?
It's austere. It's basic.
Yeah.
But it's every basic amenity that you could need is provided. Medical checks, dental checks, healthcare checks, welfare checks, recreational opportunities. But again, it's austere and it's basic because it should be. If you broke our laws, if you may temporarily have to go to Gitmo, and then you're going home.
An ACLU group is saying that the confinement there is tantamount to solitary confinement, which is against the UN rules on how you have to house people like this, because they only get 2 hours of outside time, outside of their cells. What do you say to that?
I say bull to the ACLU. I know what their agenda is. They want to make the America look bad. They want to make our commander-in-chief, President Trump, look bad. These are top-notch, top-tier facilities run by professionals where they bend over backwards to make sure that medical, dental, health care, food, religious accommodations, language accommodations all exist. No, you're not going to have universal freedom at Guantanamo Bay. It's a prison. But they get all the time that they need as a temporary place to send them home. This is about temporarily holding high-profile, high-threat individuals who then we send home.
I don't know, Jimmy. I look at that cell in Guantanamo Bay. Doesn't look too bad. I've hosted radio shows in joints that look worse than that.
Dude, that cell in New York City would rent for $3,500 a month. And you'd have roommates. Like three roommates. I know, and it's like they're talking to us about, like, you know, obviously she has to ask that question.
Yeah.
But the people criticizing the administration, I wish I could explain to them that, like, you're never going to win people over by expressing empathy for the detained terrorist. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Even if we do have laws for accommodation and stuff, it's like, think of the side you're taking in the argument, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
I don't to that point, I don't believe anyone is thinking. It's so weird. I think the iPhone ate people's brains and it does so much of their thinking now, where they just cater towards what their algorithm and their phone tells them is a good thing to say.
Yep.
Because it's stupid. So I love this. I think it's great. We actually did a segment on my show where we allowed Lincoln to choose which celebrities we should deport. And it was called Gitmo's Got Talent. We did it on Fox News Saturday night.
I love it.
Asked politely to never do it again by 31 different lawyers.
By the way, Jimmy Fallon, I hear the ratings for your Saturday night show are just off the charts great. So congratulations.
Yeah, you know what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you get enough people to fall asleep during Life, Liberty, and Levin, they count as ratings. Or during Lara or when it was Kilmeade, yeah. You know what I mean? I don't claim these ratings. I think these people that love those shows, and you know, you work your butt off all week, you watch a TV at 8, 9 o'clock, you might fall asleep, and then I just get credit for it.
It's amazing.
Dude, I gotta tell you real quick, I watched you guys on Saturday night. Zioli was on, but you also had Piscopo on. How the hell did you land Joe Piscopo?
He's a friend from afar.
Okay.
And I like him a lot. And he likes, I kind of do the show. It's very non-threatening.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So he likes that style of, I guess you'd call it late night versus a lot of what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was first kind of getting going on Fox, I started to get messages from him through a mutual friend of like, yeah, you're old school. You got class, kid. By the way, your assistant Annie, give him my number. Is this about me? Or what's going on here?
Yeah, yeah.
Great job last night. Has Annie said anything about the guests? You know that.
By the way, I know Jimmy has to go in a few minutes, but I just want to play this last cut for him and to comment on it. This is cut 10, Phil. Apparently, California Governor Gavin Newsom just announced that he is starting a podcast. Let's roll this. Roll cut 10. Go.
We need to change the conversation, and that's why I'm launching a new podcast.
This is
going to be anything but the ordinary politician podcast. I'm going to be talking to people directly that I disagree with, as well as people I look up to. But more important than anything else, I'll be talking directly with you, the listener. Real conversations. What's going on with the cost of eggs? What are the impacts, real impacts to you around tariffs? What power does an executive order really have? And what's really going on inside of DOGE? Look, there's an onslaught of information that we take in. So let's take it to the sources without the typical political mumbo jumbo. In the first few weeks, we're going to be sitting down with some of the biggest leaders and architects in the MAGA movement. This is Gavin Newsom.
Ooh. Jimmy, I don't know. He's coming for your ratings, man. I don't know.
No, I'm not worried about Schmo Rogan. I mean, yeah, no, you know, listen, if I can make a prediction, the podcast is going to burn up the charts and Newsom and Karen Bass are going to watch the burning.
I'm sure it'll be very popular in Pacific Palisades.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it'll be a big hit. This is all image rehabilitation. The one thing I'll give Newsom, okay, if you guys have a few more minutes, because yes. I do.
Okay.
Newsom is a sociopath, and I admire that about him. Okay, I was there. Do you remember when Hannity hosted a debate between Newsom and DeSantis?
Yeah.
So they were literally putting up like stats on a screen to show the viewer, you know, so they knew this wasn't like an opinion attack from DeSantis. And if you remember at the end of the debate, DeSantis pulled up the poop map of San Francisco.
That's right.
And he's like, this is an actual app that tracks sidewalk poops in real time. As you can see, there's 1300 of them. And if this is on the screen, it is an acknowledged thing, but he's such a good sociopath. He goes, yeah, unfortunately, apps like that are misleading because they don't track the depreciation of poops in the district in the last 6 months. And he's trying to make the claim that, like, no, poops are going down, but he's completely getting around the fact that there's poops happening on the sidewalk. Uh-huh. That's the percentage thing doesn't matter. The fact that it ever started to happen is the indictment here. But a sociopath doesn't let you hit him from the angle you're punching from, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, commendable, Newsom, commendable.
It's amazing. Do you have time for whatever you have to leave? Just leave. You know,
they're going to kick me off at 8:05.
All right.
I got to log into Fox thing at 8:05.
You got 2 minutes.
I gave up on changing my outfit.
one more on this. Since you mentioned DeSantis, apparently there's a little a war happening between Byron Donalds and Ron DeSantis. This is
Byron's on Fox Across America tonight. Hey, girl.
Oh, look at that. Nice. What hour of the program? Do you know?
Second hour. Oh, B-day.
Second hour.
Let's go. 8 p.m., 8:35 your time.
8:35 our time. This is cut 8.
I love how I said it your time as if I'm not 90 miles from you.
This is cut 8, Phil. Go.
Florida Congressman Byron Donalds has announced, yes, he is entering the race for governor of Florida. President Trump has endorsed Donalds, but Governor DeSantis has not.
My view is Donald Trump just got into office. I want these congressmen focused on enacting his agenda. The reality is you know, we've achieved victories in Florida. We need to start achieving those victories up there. So I think people look at it and say, you know, you got a guy like Byron. He just hasn't been a part of any of the victories that we've had here over the left over these last years.
Wow.
He's just not been a part of it.
Wow.
Well, look who's here now. Congressman Byron Donalds, the man himself. DeSantis says you were not part of the victories. Would you like to respond to that?
No, not really. Listen, Stu, I'm just really thankful, first, to have the support of President Trump and have his complete and total endorsement to run to be the next governor of Florida. I would say in terms of what I've been able to accomplish in my time in elected politics, when I was a freshman in the state legislature, I passed the first bill of its kind in the country that gave parents and community members an ability to actually examine what was in the textbook materials of students so we could actually find out what was actually going on.
So there you go.
Boy, I tell you what, all of a sudden your wife might be positioning herself for a run at it, and now all of a sudden Byron Donalds is a hack and he's never accomplished a damn thing, Jimmy.
And you know, the problem for DeSantis is obviously Trump is a lot more popular in Florida than he is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when you go back to the primaries, even though DeSantis is the governor, Trump would have won Florida in the primaries if he didn't. You know what I mean? Because everybody, DeSantis had dropped out. But the reality is Byron is the future of the Republican Party. Yes. As a governor of Florida and probably at national level, he's a really smart, really cool dude. And somehow, against all of the odds in our childhood, conservatives are known for being smart and cool now. And they weren't back in the day. We were the offended party because we were conservatives. Hey, you're out to lunch. But he's an actual dude with swag. And I'm not just saying that because he's on my show every week. And him and his wife come to my stand-up shows in Florida. They're going to see me in Fort Myers in April. Him and Eric come and hang out, and they have Def Jam laughs. You know how Def Jam, they're like, oh, no, you didn't.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Are they going to be in Wilkes-Barre at the Mohegan?
They're going to see me. I know. That's funny. They're going to see me down in Florida in Fort Myers, close to their district.
Yeah.
But April 19th, that's me and Kennedy.
Yes.
That is a comedy equivalent of Scared Straight. Remember Scared Straight?
Yeah.
Put a mouthy 12-year-old in a room with a guy who had 3 murders. And he screamed at the kid till he got straight A's. That's what Kennedy and I do on tour. It's a Scared Straight for America. It's not healthy. It's in Mohegan, Pennsylvania, April 19th. They won't let us call it the Slots and Sluts Tour. We tried like hell.
Jimmy Fallon, ladies and gentlemen.
Great
thank
job,
you,
Jimmy. Thank you.
The best. Thank we'll you, do it again Jimmy. Soon, guys. Bye-bye.
There he is.
Tonight, 7 to 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. And 8:35 p.m. tonight, you will hear Jimmy and Byron Donalds.
How about that? And by the way, on the Newsom front with the podcast, I think Jimmy's right with the rehabbing his image and trying to get control of narratives for his own future. But I also think that this could be, because let's face it, his time as governor is almost up. And if he is not the nominee in 2028, you know exactly what this is about. This is about positioning yourself for a nice lucrative media contract.
Yeah.
Could you not see him on ABC News like Chris Christie is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Being a very well-paid contributor. What do you guys think of the Byron Donalds, Gavin Newsom thing?
It's politics. Yeah. You mean DeSantis and...
Yeah,
it's politics, right? I mean, I'm sure they probably, I would think for the most part, get along. But also, if you're DeSantis, here's what you're thinking.
There's something very weaselly about DeSantis, isn't there?
Like, well, he's kind of... He keeps losing out to Trump people.
Yeah.
He lost to Trump in the primary. And now one of Trump's ardent supporters in Donald's could end his wife's possible run as governor, if that's a serious thing. Do you think, you don't think so, Dawn?
No.
Yeah, where did that even come from? She doesn't seem like
him.
Remember how she got attacked by those publications when they called her a Walmart Melania? And she seems
Which
like
I
a very
liked her for.
Yeah, she seems like a very beautiful, classy lady. But she seems kind of a lot like Melania, where she's reserved. She doesn't really speak much. I'm not sure that she necessarily loves the attention. I don't see her in politics.
But imagine that you're Ron DeSantis. You have done. I mean, he has done it. He's been a great governor.
I think he's the best governor in the country.
You know, so think about it. All of a sudden, everybody's like the new shiny object. Oh, Byron. They're already like distracted, and it's like, wait a minute, I'm not done with my victory lap.
Well,
you know what I mean? So I think that's a piece of this.
It's funny to hear Jimmy Fallon say that Byron Donalds is the future of the Republican Party, which I don't disagree with. I think he's 100% spot on. But like, Ron DeSantis is my age. It's not like he's that, you know,
right.
He's that old.
I didn't want to debate because he's got to be out at 8:05. I'm not sure that I've said it, you know, I would have made him a VP. He was in my running along with Tulsi Gabbard. Absolutely up and coming rock star. But the face of the Republican Party, I mean, are we just omitting J.D. Vance right now? I would say J.D. Vance has got the inside track on 2028 before Donald's. Because
Donalds needs to prove himself a little more as far as...
And in theory, he could win the governorship of Florida and be there for 8 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's true.
But he's on a short list for sure.
I don't want to laugh at this because there's a person dead in all this. But yesterday in New York, and kudos to this reporter that went out there. I'm not sure who it is. I think it's some podcaster who went out there. There was a Free Luigi rally yesterday.
Jeez almighty.
And they got interviews. This guy got interviews with some of the supporters there. It's not just a couple of people, guys. It was a huge rally yesterday.
Oh, he's got a following. Yeah.
And to hear these people, like, this is the woman, this is Cut 25, Phil. This is the woman that organized the rally. Okay, she explains why she supports Luigi Mangione, because she also killed someone via DUI. So she understands, you know, she understands rehabilitation.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, most times, unless you're a cannibal from Connecticut and you eat people's brains, you probably don't get back out on the street.
Tom Homan should have gone to this rally and arrested all of them, deported them.
You should stick Tom Homan in Luigi's jail cell for 90 seconds.
Roll cut 25, Phil.
What made you want to organize this protest?
I spent 26 months in prison for DUI negligent homicide, and that was after...
Respect.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah. He's obviously... Let me just set this up
respect,
a little
bit. Bro.
He's obviously being... He's playing a character.
Yeah.
Like, he's trying to fit in with these people and kind of...
Yeah, because he doesn't want to get killed.
Almost like Borat. You know what I mean? So, like, he's playing this
just
guy.
Trying to get them to talk.
Yes, trying to get them to talk. So, you know, you make them feel comfortable by, you know, acting like an idiot because that's what they are. All right, Phil, can you start this over?
The experience.
There we go. If you can start it over, I'd appreciate it.
What made you want to organize this protest?
I spent 26 months in prison for DUI negligent homicide, and that was after...
Respect.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
That was after I was the victim of domestic violence, and so the experience really taught me that whoever goes to prison is a victim first. So when I saw Luigi Mangione and I heard what was going on, I wanted...
You was getting abused, then you was having a couple of drinks to deal with your pain, and then you was driving,
gotcha.
And then someone happened to be in the way?
Actually, I hit a shopping cart at 3 miles an hour in a parking lot. And the shopping cart knocked someone over, and he died about a week later.
Man, so it was really the shopping cart that should have been in prison, realistically.
Fair to say, or the alcohol, one of the...
stark contrast to negligent homicide via DUI, which is reprehensible, and I'm certainly not defending anybody that commits that act, but a big difference between that and premeditated point-blank execution murder, right? A little bit of a difference.
She caused a person's death and has no remorse.
I know.
That's terrible.
And has started a rally or formed a rally for a murderer.
It's amazing how many of these big stories we cover, whether it's October 7th, 2023, or the killing of a UnitedHealthcare CEO, to really snuff out the crazies. We have a lot of mentally disturbed human beings roaming around this planet amongst us.
True.
Specifically in this country.
Yep.
We are the epicenter of mental health crisis.
Well, guys, I hate to say it gets better, but it doesn't. It gets worse. Mm-hmm. Here's a little montage of some of the people that this gentleman, and forgive me, I don't know who he is. He's obviously playing a character to get these people to talk. Cut 24, Phil? Cut 24, if you have it.
You sure he's playing a character? I mean, everybody has a podcast, even Gavin Newsom.
Yes. No, he's playing a character. Cut 24, go.
Have, like, Luigi fever, though?
Yeah, of course I have Luigi fever, yeah.
Is what he did good?
It's great, actually. I believe we should do more.
Did Luigi do the right thing?
I think he did what needed to be done.
Should every healthcare CEO be unalived?
Only the corrupt ones, yes.
Is Elon Musk next?
I hope so. I hope his Luigi's out there somewhere.
Where does Luigi compare to, say, Nelson Mandela?
Oh, he's up there with Nelson Mandela.
All right, who's hotter, Luigi or George Floyd?
Don't you George Floyd?
Jeez.
Luigi.
You ready to fight the war, man? Is Luigi the new Martin Luther King?
Yes.
Political prisoners should be supported.
Wow.
Well, the first sign of mental health illness is wearing that fake mask outside. That's the first thing that those dopes need to take off. I always love, too, by the way, did you see the guy with the hooded sweatshirt with his eyes covered up?
Yeah.
You know, again, if you are protesting or rallying for a just cause in your own mind, show your face. What are you so afraid of?
Agreed.
It's like these Hamas weasels that just invaded Colombia again last night, and these Palestinian nut jobs. Why don't you take off all of your excess clothing and show your face if you are on the right side of history as a humanitarian, you skunk?
Are you guys, I guess I shouldn't be surprised. I mean, there's so many people out there, too, if you see those videos.
No, protesting dumb things have become the trendy thing to do.
But this isn't protesting. This is like, this is supporting. Like, this is a rally to support this creep who deserves to be electrocuted. The electric chair. Let me repeat that. He deserves the electric chair for what he did.
Fine by me.
The end.
Yeah.
But technically, he's going to sit until proven guilty.
And then take his remains and pour it into some of the potholes in New York City and cover those up.
No. Like I want my pothole. The hell with New York, okay? I'm so sick of getting to New York.
Sorry.
Let's make New York. Who cares? No one cares about New York unless you live there or you work there. Yeah. How about you fix 202? That's what I care. Give me Luigi's ashes on DeKalb Pike. Smooth it out.
Well, Luigi has not only pleaded not guilty, he's pleading with fans to stop sending him all of their photos.
I mentioned that yesterday.
That's gross.
He's getting too big.
It's gross.
So kudos to Luigi. He actually is like, you know what? My stardom has risen enough. I need you guys to dial it back a little bit, please.
And then he was depicted in London. They've actually done a mural of this guy.
I mean, they need to find all these people and deport them. I don't care if they're American citizens. Send them to Gitmo.
Yeah. Title, we need an executive order from Trump. Any American that supports Luigi, you go to Gitmo.
This guy, the CEO, whether you agree with the policies of these insurance companies or not, the CEO had a family. He had a wife. He had children. He had parents. It's like, F these people. Yeah. F them.
Yeah. Well, Luigi had a, he had a back procedure that didn't go well, and he was in pain every day. Yeah, do what I do. Go to a chiropractor.
But he has received, the attorney says, he has received more than $600,000 in donations.
Give this guy the electric chair and let his and let the CEO's daughters flick the switch. Thank you. I hate them. Sorry.
Before they flip the switch, though, let him watch a Best of Joy read.
This is a representative, speaking of Elon Musk, this is a representative, Marcy Kaptur. Never heard of her.
Marcy.
She claims, and I thought this was racist to say this. She's a Democrat. Cut nine, Phil. Do you have it here? Yeah, there we go.
Mr. Musk has just been here 22 years, and he's a citizen of three countries. I always ask myself the question, with the damage he's doing here, when push comes to shove, which country is he loyalty to? South Africa? Canada? Or the United States?
It's not Canada.
And he's only been a citizen, I'll say again, 22 years.
Mm. So it sounds like this Democrat is saying we need to deport Elon Musk.
Oh.
Wow.
I thought nobody was illegal. It's definitely not Canada. Nobody's loyal to Canada.
No.
No. I would say the United States of America. Which, by the way, because Elon went to Penn, correct? I think he's an Ivy League Penn guy here in Philadelphia.
Yes.
So, I mean... I'll tell you what, man. The hypocrisy of these people. Which district, what state is she from? She's a real doozy. I never heard of her.
I never heard of her either.
Marcy.
Yeah. I'll look it up while I'm playing the next clip.
Never met a Marcy I liked, by the way.
One of my best friends was named Marcy. How dare you? Monica Lewinsky has a podcast, too.
Yes.
Oh, who the hell? I mean, who doesn't?
She looks great, by the way.
She does.
She believes that Bill Clinton should have resigned instead of throwing her under the bus.
Mm, yeah, good luck.
Roll this.
The right way to handle...
Oh, I'm sorry.
A situation.
You think she looks good?
I do. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, look, I say wood for everything on this show, but I don't know that that's an automatic wood.
I met her. She does advocacy.
Well, we know she's a goer. Sorry.
But this is interesting, though, now that she's matured and she's...
I know.
You know, in her 40s and can look back on everything.
Wait, she's only in her 40s?
Yeah. She was 21 in 1998 or whatever.
She's a college intern.
Yeah, she's...
The fact that we called it the Lewinsky scandal is embarrassing. We should have called it the Clinton scandal and the college intern scandal.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like... She's only like 4 or 5 years older than I am.
Let me see this real quick. No, she's 51.
Oh, is she?
Yes.
I didn't know she was
born in 73. I'm like, God, I'm almost 42. I'm like, wait, Monica Lewinsky was 12 when this happened?
Yeah, she's 51. You're right.
Start this over. This is this was from the Call Her Daddy podcast, which, by the way, I don't know if you guys saw, just got a huge deal from SiriusXM.
Oh, really?
Like $500 million or something.
It's the same deal I'm seeking.
Roll this.
The right way to handle... a situation like that would have been to probably say it was, you know, nobody's business and to resign, you know, or to find a way of staying in office that was not lying and not throwing a young person who was just starting out in the world under the bus.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Valid. Even all these years later, 28 whatever years later that it is now, I wonder what was going through her mind in 2016 when Hillary was trying to get to the White House. She had to be rooting for Trump, I would think.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's a Democrat, right?
Oh, yeah. She's a very vocal Democrat supporter. I'm not sure about Hillary Clinton.
Maybe she sat it out.
Yeah. Tom Holman was on with, I believe, Sean Hannity last night. And we played the news report yesterday about those flyers that were going around Los Angeles doxing ICE agents, right?
Yep.
We played that news clip.
Dox.
He commented on this yesterday. This is cut. Phil, did you start those 19 seconds in like I asked you to? Yes, you did. All right, cool. Cut 34, go.
Well, it's under investigation right now. Matter of fact, I have a meeting tomorrow morning with the Department of Justice. I think that's crossing the line of impeachment. And I hope the Department of Justice agrees with me. So we find out who's doing it. Hopefully we can prosecute them and put them in jail. Look, I know about doxing, Sean. I got a state, Governor Youngkin has assigned a state trooper to my home 24-7. I have a marked car outside my door right now. I got a security detail. The left has lost their minds. It's all of a sudden the ones who enforce the law, the bad guys, the ones who break the law, the victims. We're not going to let them slow us down. We're not going to be bullied. We're not going to be intimidated. What we're going to do in these cities, we'll double the manpower. We'll flood those neighborhoods with DEA, ATF, FBI, ICE. We'll double the effort. Right? And we'll increase work site enforcement operations in those communities. We're not going to play a game with these people. We've made it clear we're concentrating on public safety threats. And no one should disagree with taking child sex predators off the streets. ICE just took 9 sexual predators off the street in Massachusetts because they won't honor detainers. ICE made those communities safer, and we're going to continue to make those communities safer.
You could tell his blood starts to boil midway through. Temperature starts to rise. God almighty, do I love Tom Homan. And best of luck for all of you doxing dorks out there that love to partake in that trendy activity, especially with a guy like Tom Homan. I mean, you just heard that Glenn Youngkin, governor of Virginia, state trooper 24-7. And if you somehow got past or around that state trooper, I'm probably going to take it to the bank that Tom Homan is well-equipped with the Second Amendment in his own personal house. So my guess is you're not going to get too far should you try to, be like these tough people on TikTok where they say, I want to assassinate Elon Musk. Which, by the way, if Tom Homan is getting a state trooper, can you imagine the security detail that Elon has in his private time?
Yeah.
Good luck.
I've been sitting on this clip for the last couple of days, but I want to play it now. This is cut one, Phil. Maryland lawmakers want to put condoms in vending machines in preschools. It's a new bill, HB 380. Yes, preschools.
Condoms in preschool.
Kindergarten, preschools. Condoms for kiddies. Roll this, Phil.
Eye-opener to this one. The Maryland Statehouse advancing a bill that would permit condoms to be sold in vending machines on public school campuses, including preschools. Republicans in the legislature say it's going too far. Maryland State Delegate Kathy Shalega is calling on parents to wake up. And she joins us now. So here's what Maryland Department of Legislative Services says about this bill that's making its way through the State House. This bill repeals the misdemeanor prohibition against an associated penalty for selling or offering for sale a contraceptive or contraceptive device by means of a vending machine or other automatic device at a kindergarten, nursery school, elementary school, or secondary school. And I think a lot of people at home are saying, what?
All of us on that, well, most of us on the House floor said exactly that. What is this? So we offered an amendment on the bill on second reading when you can amend a bill to just say, look, just high schools. You know, we wouldn't like that either. The Republicans and the Maryland Freedom Caucus would not like that, but they rejected it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of schools that are teaching abstinence, right?
Well,
and,
right.
You know, maybe abstinence until marriage in a best case scenario, maybe abstinence until you're in college. But to put condoms in a vending machine puts it right there in front of you. But why? What justification is there for doing this at a nursery school or a kindergarten? I mean, unless you just want to make a very broad brush law that doesn't have that doesn't take a lot to interpret it.
It makes no sense whatsoever. And, you know, the intent may have at some point been high school, but when they rejected our move to just make it high school again, I, like you, would say you're discriminating against traditional families that don't want their 14-year-old daughter going to a high school and walking down the hall in front of a sex vending machine.
Right.
But, you know, putting this in a daycare or nursery school and, you know, into a preschool, I am a grandmother of two beautiful 10 and 7-year-old girls, and I can't imagine them walking down the hall and seeing a colorful condom vending machine with condoms and other things in it, and then having to have a conversation with a 7-year-old. You know, Mama, what's a condom?
Why would a 3-, 4-, or 5-year-old in a preschool or nursery school setting need or have access or even be able to comprehend the function and purpose of a condom? My bigger picture question here is trying to forget intent
What is the motive of Democrats to rush the maturity and the sexualization of minors? Forget the whole transgender nonsense and men can become women and women can become men. Why are we trying to do stuff that you typically would learn about when you're 12 or 14 or 16 or 18 and accelerate that into ages 4, 5, 6, and 7? I don't get it. And the fact that some parents can be completely oblivious to this is the real scary part. I mean, this is where people really need to wake up. And if this is occurring, you know, in your school district, this is why they have school boards and parent meetings and PTA and things like that. I mean, this is just outrageous. I don't get it. I think everybody should learn about condoms the way I did. And that was walking into a restaurant at 13 and seeing the condom thing in the bathroom. Remember that when they would sell the condoms in the bathrooms?
Absolutely.
You put the little quarter in, you get a condom.
Yeah. Did you get one?
No. No, my old man would have broke my hands. Snapped my fingers off. Boiled them in motor oil.
I mean, look, you can't stop kids in high school from having sex.
Of course
kids in high school are going to have sex.
Right.
So, like, I don't know.
Preschool?
Here's the problem with it, though. And no, the preschool thing, like, that's just
gross.
Preschool, elementary school, all
but
that stuff.
But why
sounds
would
gross.
That even be in the bill?
It's ridiculous. I'm just talking about high school here. Do you think kids don't know about condoms? You know what I mean? Like, do you have to, like, put them out there so it's like, oh, you know what?
My daughters are 10 and a half. It would not surprise me in this day and age with everything that they see and talk about on, you know, social media and TikTok. If I asked my daughters what's a condom, I would just guess there might be a 50-50 chance they know. I'm telling you, kids today, man, and this is not to defend, you know, condoms in preschools, but my daughters are saying things that they hear at school at 10 years old that, from what I can remember, I don't think I was talking about that when I was 10 in 1994. I don't know.
But I think a lot of it comes from the internet, and a lot of it is aimed at not only robbing their innocence and robbing parents of the opportunity to have these conversations, it's also trying to
have the state raise your kid?
No, it's more than that. It's to make their first images of anything sexual controlled and through perversion.
Yeah.
And this is anti-family, anti-traditional values, anti-faith. It's all of that.
I could see that, yeah.
And perversion, I mean, as what, Dawn? I'm just curious.
It's just making...
Well, it's no different than the pornography in books in the library in the sixth grade, right?
But
remember all these books?
It's taking things that are, first of all, the image in which we were made as you know, female and male, man and woman, and there's perversion within that, and then as well just taking away the beauty of nature and what we have and family values, all of that, and trying to give an alt view and plant that in their brain
at a young age,
at an extremely young age,
and also create a dependency on the government.
So you think, again, I'm just playing devil's advocate. I don't agree with this, but you think, like, kids seeing condom machines is a step
and
towards
any of
that?
Any of this stuff is, I think, to undermine, first of all, robbing them of innocence. What's wrong with? I mean, look at these laws. Like in look up California, especially in the West Coast. They have laws, and this is a push, and it begins in California. But they want to say that, let's say if you're within an age group, so let's say an 18-year-old violates a 10-year-old, they're saying, well, that person, they're within so many years, so we're not going to give the 18-year-old, you know, that harsh of a sentence. I mean, that's what's going on.
Which is ridiculous.
It's yes. But it's all moving toward this whole, there's a movement of, hey, to love a child, that you should have the right to love a child. And they don't mean love. They mean, like, in a adult, sexual, intimate way.
Where is this happening?
Look it up in California.
West Coast, where look all this stupid stuff
These
starts.
Are laws that they've, yes.
We can't even get
within 10 years.
Yeah. Yep. We can't even get Elon Musk to wear condoms, and we're going to have 4-year-olds wearing them?
Go yourself.
I mean, seriously, Elon, put a glove on, bro. You've created enough. You've done enough for population regeneration. God, dude.
So wait, there's a law that if you're within 10 years of somebody, it's okay?
Yes, look it up. California.
Okay.
It's almost like, not that they decriminalize, but they try to justify it more that the separation. I'm sorry, I don't care if you're 18 and 10, or you're 18 and 12, or you're 18 and 14. When it's an adult and it's a minor, it's off limits.
We should break and then come back, and I have a ton more. We haven't even gotten into the cabinet meeting yesterday.
That's right.
I mean, it's like 8:30. We haven't even gotten into the cabinet meeting that everybody was talking about yesterday. Yeah. So,
by the way, do we have condoms in the Odyssey bathrooms?
No,
I didn't think so.
So, just to give you the California law, only perpetrators with a previous conviction of purchasing sex from a child under 15, so Nick, your daughter's ages, and it would have to be on a second offense. It has to be over a 10-year age group. They have all of these qualifications that they would be the ones who could be up for getting in trouble with the law. Otherwise, if it's, you're a first-time offender, right, and you're 18 to 20, but you're 9 years apart, think of how young that victim would be. And they don't even say it's a victim, that you bought sex from a child.
Wow.
Like, OMG.
Yeah.
That's California law, folks.
OMG, WTF. All right. Sounds like my 10-year-old daughters. Everything's OMG, WTF.
It's pedophilia.
Do not go anywhere, because we have a ton more of clips. We have more Pam Bondi. She discussed about the alleged probe into the former FBI director. Apparently, she doesn't know anything about it.
Okay.
And Senator Kennedy has a warning for some of these Trump DOJ nominees.
These people are about 10 exits past normal.
Yeah,
exactly.
He took them to school.
There you go. 8 o'clock hour brought to you by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Their recruiting professionals utilize an award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, they know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. Kale and Company rolls on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
It's Kale and Company on demand. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.
Choosing a lawn care service, doesn't it make sense to hire a company that provides better results and is safer for your family and pets? That's the way I think. That's the way I operate. And that's why Natural Lawn of America is my lawn care company. At Natural Lawn, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without the harsh chemicals. They're like Maha for your yard. They use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family and pets. From organic fertilizers to safer weed and insect controls, they make sure that your lawn thrives naturally season after season. And don't just take my word for it. Join the growing number of homeowners switching to Natural Lawn safer services and start enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly lawn that you can be proud of. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program today and get free seeding every year. If you want a greener, healthier lawn plus free seeding every year, call Natural Lawn at 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED, because your lawn deserves the best. So call the best. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed. By the way, been a great morning, very busy morning. If you missed any of the show, hit us up on the Odyssey app, the rewind feature. The big take on the PIAA, Pennsylvania Philly School District, in defiance to Trump with the trans Title IX, all that nonsense. We've had Jimmy Fallon on the show. We've been all over Gene Hackman's unfortunate passing. And today, what many hope is the bombshell release, as Pam Bondi has come out and said last night, that the Epstein files, the names, and the flight logs shall be released.
Speaking of Pam Bondi, this is Cut 27, Phil. There's been reports that there is a probe into the former FBI director, and she was asked about that by Jesse Waters last night, and this is what she said. Roll it.
We're hearing reports that there was an investigation opened into James Comey, who may have thrown honeypots at Donald Trump back in the 2015, 2016 years. Is that true?
Jesse, I don't know anything about what you're saying about James Comey right now.
Okay. That was a report.
Don't know anything about that.
That was a report that was cited in the Washington Times. I'll take it at that.
Interesting, right?
Yeah.
Did you see the reports? Did you see the reports?
No, I did not. I did not see it. That's the Washington Times.
Yes.
Not the Washington Post or the Washington Examiner.
Yeah.
But look, I mean, if anything is there to be dug up with Comey or even the most recent director of the FBI, Christopher Wray, I mean, hell, I would love to hear everything that we can possibly hear about July 13th, Butler, PA. You know, if Pam Bondi, and look, I want her going after criminals first and foremost, being, you know, the lead dog, overseeing all the prosecutions, same thing, you know, with Cash Patel, same thing with Bongino. But if there's anything that can be dug up on anything, you know, over the last handful of directors of the FBI and the failures of the Secret Service, by all means, let's go.
Get on over to YouTube, youtube.com/@1210WPHD. You can see all these videos. You can see, you know, everything that we're doing. This is, so this, I hate doing this because, but I think it's important that we show these types of videos. This is cut 28. And obviously this hits home for me because I have a 4-year-old. But this is a video of a teacher dragging, hitting, and slamming a 2-year-old child to the ground while the toddler was screaming.
Oh, boy.
The teacher pleaded guilty to abusing a child and was sentenced to 5 years probation. This is cut 28, Phil. Roll it.
And we begin this evening with a story you'll see only on 6. A Miami teacher has pleaded guilty to abusing a 2-year-old girl at Lincoln Martí School in Southwest Miami-Dade.
Now this surveillance video shows her grabbing and hitting the toddler. Christian Colon has the exclusive video and details on the teacher's punishment. A warning now, the video you're about to see is disturbing to listen to.
A camera was rolling as a 2-year-old little girl is heard crying and screaming. That's when her teacher, Merlin Gutierrez, grabs the child.
Oh, look at the spike.
Pulls the minor up and slams her. As the teacher yells, the child continues to cry in front of a handful of other children innocently staring.
Ma'am, you were arrested for one count of child abuse.
That was 21-year-old Merlin Gutierrez in front of a judge for the first time back in December. Now records show she's a guilty woman. Earlier this month, Gutierrez pleaded guilty to abusing a child at a Lincoln Martí school in Southwest Miami-Dade.
No contact with the victim, alleged victim, either directly, indirectly, in person, in writing, by telephone, or through third parties.
In exchange for her guilty plea, Gutierrez was sentenced to 5 years of probation.
Probation?
What?
Effing probation.
Records also show the abusive teacher must complete an anger management course.
Yeah, look at
that. Look
at this scumbag.
And receives treatment if needed. Gutierrez is also prohibited from teaching in public or private schools. Yeah. And she cannot have unsupervised contact with minors unless she gets permission from the court.
And NBC6 reached out to her attorney, but they did not want to comment today. We also reached out to the Lincoln Martí school system, but we haven't heard back yet. Back in December, the school told NBC6 they had reported the abuse and the teacher was removed from that classroom. We're in Miami.
Should never be permitted to work again in a school with kids.
Agreed.
As a nursery school teacher, I don't know if she's certified, if she's got a degree. No, you're done. You're going to have to go to a different profession, lady.
She deserved jail time, in my opinion.
How do you get 5 years probation?
That's what I'm saying. Like, if I'm the parent, like, first of all, I wouldn't have to do anything. My wife would.
Right.
So it wouldn't be, you know, as sexist if I, you know, body slammed this individual.
Right.
But man.
And you're in a school there that obviously she had to be aware from the first day that she started working there that they are under video surveillance. She did that right in front of the camera.
I get it. You know what I mean? Like, you're a preschool teacher or a kindergarten. Like, those kids are tough.
Yeah,
There's no doubt in my mind. I would not want to do it. Only the, you know, only really special people can do that.
Yeah.
But boy, do you have, like, that is egregious.
Yes.
That is absolutely egregious.
Yeah, if I was the parent, I mean, my God. I mean, you know, I remember when I first started doing the satellite show after I left Philly Sports, my girls had just turned one and a half, and my wife was working for the county at the time, so she was not working a remote job like she is now, and I had to take our girls to a babysitter, and I would drop them off because the show I did was at 3 p.m., so I would drop them off before lunch. It would be, you know, 10:30, 11 o'clock.
And I'm assuming that I'm no different than any other parent. The first time you drop your child off, your toddler or your infant at a daycare or a nursery school, you're like anxious. You have anxiety because it's the first time you're being away from your kid. Yeah. Do you trust that person? No. Well, you could have interviewed him and you might have had a good feeling, but all of a sudden that person has a bad day and they start whacking your kid. Oh, I was a wreck for like 6 weeks thinking about that.
By the way, we got some of the instructions for, because my son starts kindergarten soon. We got some of the instructions for car lines. Boy.
You're glad you do morning radio now, huh?
Yep, Greg will be in the Piazza minivan.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm going to be picking up. So,
yeah.
Oh, what time's pickup?
Well, I don't want to give away too much.
Oh, okay. Is it a full day or half day?
It's a full day, yeah.
Kindergarten. Not everybody day. Is.
Oh, yeah, really?
That's why I was asking.
No. Sorry, I didn't know. Sorry.
And some are changing right now. There's right. a lot of news, you know, if you're watching that. But in parts of, like, Chester County, it's weird. They do a half day,
mm-hmm.
but it's later in the day. It's after lunch.
Well, when I
you know,
was...
it's all
yeah.
these different times.
1989, 1990, kindergarten, we had AM, PM. It was...
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
you'd be
right.
there,
yeah.
like, 7:45 to noon or, like, 11:30 to 3:30.
You know what's funny? I don't remember, but I that sounds familiar, yeah. so I may have done that as well.
I was PM.
That. Okay. Yeah. Now you're AM.
Now I'm...
It also depends public or private
yeah.
schools and what you yeah. what you go for. And that's why some people will put their kids in Montessori school or that sort of thing half day
mm-hmm.
until they go to up to, and I would recommend for you,
yeah.
boys, hold them back as much as you can because they mature later. So make your son the oldest in the class. Trust me.
What, start him in kindergarten a year late?
Yep, at age 6.
That's what my dad wanted me to do.
Yep.
But my mom wouldn't let him. That was all just for sports, so I would be extra dominant as a senior.
Well, because you're a January.
Yeah.
And if you look, there have been books have written about this, but for January kids especially, that's why a lot of times if you look at top athletes and even top performing people, if they're January and they were held to be the oldest,
yeah.
they are hugely successful.
All right.
This is cut 6. Dawn Stensland sent this to me. And forgive me, it's been a couple of days, but
I've totally forgot what it was.
This is a apparently Senator Fetterman and Senator McCormick are working together, and
hey.
They did a little. I don't know if this is a podcast or what, but they're sitting around talking about how they're working together to help Pennsylvania.
Mm. Okay.
All right. Want to see what you guys think of this? Cut. Roll it, Phil.
Protecting the way of life here that's been here since 1875. Immediately after that deal was announced, I had to read that on CNN. I'm like, they did everyone dirty. I went up on my roof, and I'm like, we're going to jam that up, I promise you. And we did go to the White House.
I agree with the center is... protecting these jobs.
Sometimes people just want more times. They want me to pick up a folding chair and, you know, like whack them over the head with that.
Yeah,
I'm just thinking
yeah.
it's going to get more and more contentious and polarized, but I've really kind of lost my taste for the kind of pointless, you know, the clashing and those things.
By the way, why is his phone like in teleprompter mode on his lap? Did you see that?
Yeah, because he...
Because of the language.
Because of the language stuff.
Oh, okay.
Interpretation after the stroke.
Yeah. Okay.
So uses that.
Well, I'm sure that's not going to sit too well with Democrats that Fetterman was yucking it up with McCormick.
Why?
You're right.
How about Republicans?
Look, I mean... I'm all for getting things accomplished on a bipartisan front. I mean, I don't really think, and I'm not trying to be a partisan hack here. I think that the far left is far more stubborn than those are on the right. When you look at policies and victories right now, I mean, Republicans are just rolling out common sense policies and they're winning on them. The Democrats aren't willing to budge. They're the ones dying on hills like transgender athletes and their rights. If that didn't tick off Democrats when they saw that, they're probably going to be ticked off when they read this story, courtesy of the Inquirer. Senator Anthony Hardy Williams is now calling on Fetterman to condemn the war on DEI and wants him to fight harder for the continuation of what Trump is basically eradicating with executive orders. So I'm not sure that Fetterman's resonating well with some of the crazies on the left right now these days.
And we've talked about the fact that some of his own staffers have left because they're not happy that he's sleeping with the enemy.
Uh-huh. Yep, 100%.
God forbid a politician actually, you know, try to work with the other side and find some common ground.
Yesterday, we talked a lot. We spent a lot of time on the federal employees and the email that was sent justifying their jobs. I mean, basically, it's not justifying their jobs. It's like, tell me five things you've done over the last week.
Mm-hmm.
In some jobs like ours, I don't know how we would quantify it. Like, I know what, like, I don't know how I would.
They're called post-show emails.
I know how I would qualify it, but like, there are some people that don't, you know, not on paper, they're like, well, what does this person do?
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, do you think they're asking for that in the construction industry? send me the five things you did on the site today.
Are you talking about Doge and Elon Musk? Are you going to go through that whole thing?
I'm going to go through this. This is a federal employee. This is a federal employee who called into, I think this was the Breakfast Club, and she said she loves the idea of the email for the five bullet points on what she accomplished, because it offers her the opportunity to, quote, elevate herself for a promotion.
Yes.
Hello?
What a novel concept.
Who said that day one? Greg Stocker. Remember I
said? Yes, great point.
If Greg did that to us, we would all be like, oh, yeah, you want to know what we did?
See, some of us
deserve a raise.
Want to have success in our job and move up. Others are just trying to get to 5 o'clock without being detected as a loser.
Roll it.
I got the email, and I honestly feel like this is a great opportunity to outline what you as an employee bring to the bring to the federal government. And if it's really good what you outline, they could give you an opportunity to get a promotion or something. Mm. Like, God forbid, they ask you what you've done. Any other job, they'll ask you at the end of the week, at the end of the month. Because I used to do bookkeeping. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what do we do, you know, at the end of the month? What are the clients that we have to, you know, gear towards to? So at the end of the day, God forbid anybody make any, and it's this democratic thing. It's like, I don't want to get the parties into it, but they don't want to go to work. They want to work from home. People are not working from home. You know, this is what you signed up for. If you don't like it, resign.
Yep. Amen. I don't disagree with anything she said. Perfect. Hey, this is not radical. This is not right wing. This is not, workplace harassment. This is not the management flexing their power. Elon's a bully. You have a job to do. Go to work and physically do it. And then when the boss says, hey, did you accomplish blibbity blobbity blue? You come back and you say, yeah, here's what I did, boss.
I thought it was interesting. I know Greg's going to get to it, but of course, you know, I had to watch that whole hour-long thing. And we started it. It started right as my show was ending. We were going to Dom. But I thought it was fascinating, first of all, that Elon Musk has gotten death threats, number one. Number two, that he clarified that this was a pulse check, not a performance check.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
That was interesting.
And for the record, by the way, I don't think I'm stealing your thunder on the clip here, but Trump has come out and said, there's been over a million federal employees that did follow the guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hearing from the ones who don't or don't like it. But my guess is most people probably did adhere to it.
Cut 21, Phil. Elon Musk addressed this yesterday. Roll it.
We think there are a number of people on the government payroll who are dead, which is probably why they can't respond. And some people who are not real people, like they're literally fictional individuals that are collecting paychecks. Well, somebody's collecting paychecks on a fictional individual. So we're just literally trying to figure out, are these people real? Are they alive? And can they write an email? Which I think is a reasonable expectation.
Well, I'd love to have a fictional alias and collect a second check.
But
Odyssey should hire a guy named Rick Nail. Just
Rick
send that
Nail.
Paycheck.
Wait,
and I'll
remember that name.
I'll give the address later.
But think about the power of a government email address, right? That mm-hmm. even if let's say you had an Odyssey, because you can't just go and get like somebody's company address, but especially .gov or what have you, there's value in that. And then what are they doing with that? And so if they have another job, and they just, let's just say they kept their, somehow they didn't close out the email address, which, you know, that did happen here. Like somebody still had their email and they had to make sure they canceled it, right? It's happened to every employer, wink, wink. So, you know, there's power in the, and value in an email address, whether or not they have the job. But then imagine if they're also still on a payroll, but basically nobody's been checking on them. So now they can have another job, but they can get side gigs or they can get credibility mm-hmm. and relevance just because they can use a job title and have that government email. That's kind of dangerous.
I'm glad you brought up the side gig, because you just know that there's these federal employees out there that have been working remotely, quote, on the clock for their federal government job while simultaneously working remotely on a side job, still punched in, clocked in on our taxpayer dollars while they are totally MIA mentally mm-hmm. from what they're being paid to do at that very moment, while they're selling a crib on the Facebook marketplace or all this other stuff. And I think that's a big reason why a lot of these people are pushing back on, I don't want to come back into the office, because they're going to lose out on a side hustle income.
We should break again, but on the other side, Trump clarifies a little bit more yesterday on that $5 million immigration gold card. Mm-hmm. He also talks more about what Elon Musk said about all these people that are responding, not responding, yeah. why they're doing this. He talks about Canada. He talks about tariffs. We have all that. Plus, Caitlin Collins grills Mike Johnson about the blueprint for the spending bill.
Yeah.
And Senator Kennedy calls out the DOJ nominees, Trump's DOJ nominees. We have all of that on the other side.
And you mentioned Elon Musk and talking. We have to get to the Elon Musk story with the R word.
Yes, I want to get into this so badly.
This is a fabulous conversation if you can handle it. But if you're an adult, I think you should be able to handle it. It's Kale and Company, and we're back after this.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.